Welcome to In Plain Sight. Jeremy here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash donate, fundage, mail the check or money order. Payable to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call in that debit or credit at 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Welcome to the satellite listeners. And please whip out that card and send us a donation. I think I'm doing 50 this month. I've already done 40. So I need to do another 10. And if all of the hosts can pony up at least 50, hosts and co-hosts, and all listeners and callers the same, all of you archive listeners out there, you have a very important job as you go through the archives and listen, and you don't have time to listen live. This station still means a lot to you, and if every archive listener just did a few dollars, it would make a huge difference, because I know we have possibly tens of thousands listening on the archives. This is your Tuesday Night Broadcast, the Patrick and Jeremy Show, traveling abroad, probably back in the underground studios in Burbank, analyzing political science. Dr. Patrick Slattery, welcome to the show. What's going on, my friend?
Thank you very much. And we are on patrol. It is the dog patrol, and we're patrolling and keeping it safe. We are fighting crime on a neighborhood by neighborhood basis. Come on.
You tend to do your best work while walking dogs.
I do. Yeah. And there's cicada out too. I got the cicada crew, my cicada posse. Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should.
And a few spotter and lantern flies here and there, I think. They don't make much noise, though.
Glad to get a break from this heat. I don't know how it is in Burbank, but in Kentucky, it's been very tolerable outside this week. I would venture to say enjoyable. Working outside this week. Much welcome from last week's blistering heat wave. So, yeah. It's got to be a lot better walking dogs, too. I walked mine this morning. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, it is good.
Yeah.
All right. You sent some stuff earlier.
Lots of stuff. Prigozhin was at the top of that list. Got something from RT and Blacklisted News. Two things before we get deep into it. I'm curious as to who killed Prigozhin, who brought that plane down. I think last week contemplating whether it was CIA or some NATO faction, maybe even British intelligence, I've heard some people say, or whether Putin did it in retaliation, which I wouldn't put it past him. He's a hardcore kind of guy. You don't want to cross him. And there's that. So I want to get your thoughts on that. And also, and he's confirmed it, by the way. Apparently, they confirmed everyone on the aircraft, I guess through DNA. Yeah. And also, the Blacklisted News site probably was talking about how the Wagner Group is engaged in Africa, possibly, fostering the Niger, those Nigers, those hard pipe-hitting Nigers over there with their berets and camos doing that coup, taking that totally democratically elected president hostage. He's saying he's the first one to go if they get attacked. But that Wagner's definitely involved in Africa, and that could have been why Putin kind of gave the guy a stay, when Prigozhin did the attempted coup, let him go back to Belarus and then back to Africa to do his business. Maybe the dude had unfinished business in Africa. But let's play a little Sherlock Holmes here. I'll be Watson. Sherlock, who would have the means, motive to take out Prigozhin?
Well, okay, so there's a extremely small chance that it was an accident. This was, I guess, a Wagner plane, and they don't necessarily have the highest maintenance standards, and they're risk takers. So that is a possibility, although pretty unlikely. He probably was killed. If Putin wanted to kill him for revenge, and you know, maybe he would have wanted to, but he wouldn't have done it in the middle of the BRICS conference. He wouldn't have done it with a bunch of rando people on the same airplane. And, you know, he probably would have let Prigozhin go to Africa, go to Niger, and had some people take care of him there. He wouldn't in the time and place and settings with like nine other people. That way he wouldn't have done that. So I think it's extremely unlikely, like basically impossible, that it was Putin. You know, not that Putin might not have wanted to do it. Not that Putin particularly mourns Prigozhin passing from the scene, probably, but he wouldn't have done it like that. So who knows? You do have, you know, British intelligence. You've got the CIA. It probably would be one of the Western intelligence organizations that has high capabilities. You know, there are other people. He was a businessman, and you know, often when you'd hear about journalists or whatever dying in Russia, and everybody always pointing their fingers at Putin, you know, there was usually all sorts of people who had motives to kill these various people, you know, journalists or whatever, who have died, or you know, agents or double agents. So my guess is probably a Western intelligence agency. You know, I couldn't tell you whether it's MI5 or MI6 or the CIA or whatever, but probably one of those two would be at the top of the list.
I was in aviation maintenance. As a matter of fact, worked at Scott Air Force Base, my last assignment, on the C-40s. These were Boeing 737s that transported congressmen and different officials from Washington around so they could go blow our tax money in Europe on expensive shopping trips that were disguised as diplomatic missions. And I can tell you, I mean, as far as the Air Force, I mean, military maintenance on aircraft is top notch. I mean, there's so many checks that they go through. I can't vouch for what sort of maintenance Prigozhin had on his plane. I would assume this dude would have the highest class maintenance, especially if he was fostered by the Russian government. I know you were throwing it out there as a possibility. I'm sort of not buying into the, you know, maintenance or aircraft failure. Now, this is interesting. I sort of Googled this just now. This is from, BBC.com. Supposedly, a Wagner-linked telegram channel called The Gray Zone reported that the jet had been shot down by Russian military, but there were no substantiating evidence to support this claim. Of course, that's kind of what the media is pushing for, and I guess all of the of course, that's what the West would push out there. I don't know much about this gray zone and if it's truly Wagner linked or what that even means, if it means Wagner approves of it or what.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard of it. I've heard Alexander Mercurius mention it. I don't know to what extent they're reputable or not.
But if we talk about motivation, so means and motivation, definitely the Russian government would have the means. I mean, sure. But what motivation would they have? According to the next article that I pulled up on Blacklisted News, talking about Wagner's involvement in Africa, They were pro Niger coup, doing a lot of pro Russian stuff in Africa. It wouldn't seem that Russia would have a motivation to shoot this aircraft down, given that they were doing work for the Russian government in Africa. This would mean the motivation would be for the West to, you know, because they're pretty sore, they're pretty raw about this Niger coup, and they're pretty raw about, you know, Russia and China pretty much dominating Africa. That would lead the West to have motives.
When Victoria Nuland was over there in Niger, talking to those Nigers in the berets and the military fatigue, the camouflage, she was telling them don't get involved with Wagner. She was saying that up front. So there's that.
Didn't mean the opera. She didn't mean the opera, did she?
Yeah. I mean, I say Wagner. I don't know how you'd say it in Russian. They have a sound that's kind of halfway in between a W and a V. You know, vodka. I don't know, Wagner. But it's the Wagner group, it wasn't actually, from my understanding, really wasn't founded by Prigozhin. That it was a creature of the Russian intelligence services, but they needed to be able to maintain like a degree of separation for plausible deniability. So they got Prigozhin, who was somebody who already had dealings with the Russian military as a caterer, because that's his background, is a caterer. And, you know, caterers, well, that is kind of logistics and, you know, an army marches on its stomach and whatnot. So they got Prigozhin to be the front man for this organization. But Prigozhin, I guess he's got charisma and an ego. And when the Wagner group was in the spotlight in this since the Ukraine war started, he got a big head on his shoulders, and he also got really very much involved. And I think it's more of a tradition in Russia than in the United States for officers and, you know, generals even to be at or near the front lines. Whereas I think you'd know more than I do, but I think the tradition in the United States is for generals to stay back nowadays, at least. I mean, in the Civil War, you know, you had Stonewall Jackson was, I guess he had his arm blown off or something. He was on the front lines. Generals were more likely to be on the front lines in the old days, but they still have that tradition in Russia. And Wagner, even though he doesn't have a military background, I think he took a lot of risks and was in combat zones. And, you know, I guess in the process of doing that, gained a certain amount of loyalty from at least some of the Wagner personnel. One other thing about Wagner, a lot of people are aware that they recruited heavily in Russian prisons. And apparently, at least through these, you know, former prisoners, into much more risky situations than the Russian military would throw its own soldiers. That to an extent, Prigozhin was using these former prisoners as kind of expendable cannon fodder. There was a little bit of that, but there couldn't have been too much of it, because he did seem to be popular, I believe, among the Wagner personnel.
If I understand right, Wagner was very popular amongst the Russian populace. They were doing their little coup. I guess they had a lot of the populace in Russia cheering them on.
No, I don't think so. I think at the end of June, they certainly didn't have any of the Russian elite side with them. I don't, and even if Prigozhin was popular, Putin's more popular. I don't think there was a whole, and the types of people that don't like Putin would even less like Prigozhin. So I don't think there was a whole lot of support for any kind of coup. But I do think that Prigozhin was a popular person. And, you know, what the Russian sentiment towards him over the past couple of months has been, I don't know. But remember, Putin, he didn't treat Prigozhin particularly harshly, right? I mean, he was very angry at what happened, but he didn't treat him harshly.
I guess what I meant was from news reports, Wagner and Prigozhin were getting like rock star treatment when they went to places in Russia. And, you know, I don't know that the Russian people were down with the coup, but they were definitely down with Wagner and their popularity.
But yeah, they've been like war heroes, right? Yeah. They've been war heroes for a year and a half. And so there was a lot, they had a lot of goodwill from the Russian people.
Well, given Prigozhin and Wagner's activity in Africa, going all the way back to 2019, active in the Mozambique militant uprising, also in Niger, Mali, Libya, Mali, they were involved in all this. I guess the West would have the most, motivation to take them out. And it would look bad on Putin. I guess they could blame him because they could say it was retaliation for the coup.
Well, and you had Chris Christie. I guess Prigozhin died a day or two before the Wednesday night debates last week. And Chris Christie was saying, oh, Putin's a killer. Look what he did to Prigozhin, as if Prigozhin is some sort of sympathetic character in the American elite. He's not. But
Nimrata was also blaming Putin for the killing in those debates. Yeah. Nikki Haley,
what a slut.
That was pretty funny. Her and Vivek going at it to see who would be the most pro-Israel.
Yeah, Vivek was saying that the U.S.-Israel relationship will never be stronger than under a, what's his last name, Vivek Ramaswamy?
Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy, then under a Ramaswamy. But you know, he had said things like, before that, this is why he was being attacked by Nimrata, whatever her name is, Nimrata Haley. He was being attacked because he had said that that Israel should be treated like other countries, right? Just be treated like another country.
She almost called down the dark powers of Kali on him that night. That was pretty dark. Hey, we're coming up on this break. Let's take the break and analyze more on the other side.
All right.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values leaders that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Go back to the Patrick and Jeremy show, just analyzing the Prigozhin plane crash. Who had motive and means? I'm saying the West, definitely, in conjunction with maybe NATO powers, CIA, British intelligence. That's what I'm leaning on.
Yes.
Do you have any more on this, Patrick?
Not really, but you know, the West, the Western powers were able to blow up a pipeline however many hundreds of meters below the Baltic Sea. Yeah, they could do this. They would have the means of doing it, and they had the motive. And to the extent that Putin had a motive and the means, he would not have wanted to do it at that time, at that place, and in that context.
Elementary, my dear Sherlock. Let's move to a caller real quick before we get on to Giuliani. We got Chance in West Virginia. Chance in West Virginia, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's Jeremy. Can you hear me?
We got you, man.
Okay. Are you aware, Jeremy, that France has been raping the rich natural resources of Niger and its people for years?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Niger put his sanctions on that recently after the coup.
Well, the after people those had enough. And are you also aware of this? 20 drones were sent into Russia today, all right? And it's predicted they came from either Latvia or Estonia. Now, these lunatic, psychopathic devils from hell keep pushing this man's Putin back to the wall. If I were Putin, I would level completely Ukraine, and then if I found out that it was either Latvia or Estonia, I would tell him, I'm coming for your friggin' asses next. This is the point we're at right now.
Wow. You got anything on these drones, Patrick? Have you heard this? I caught a news story about it earlier.
I mean, the Ukrainians have been sending drones into Russia. And Latvia and Estonia have land borders They're somewhat farther north. They're farther north than Belarus, but they have land borders with Russia. If it would be extremely reckless if they indeed did such a thing, but this whole affair has been chock full of Western recklessness. So,
to say the least.
Yeah. From the BBC, Ukraine war drone attack on airport damages Russian transport planes. That was 44 minutes ago from BBC.
Well, if I was Russia, I would level their friggin' asses, too, if I found that it was them. Okay, well, thank you now.
Thank you.
That's a lot of chance. Yeah, Patrick, that's an interesting comment there. That's kind of what I get a lot of people saying, you know, why doesn't Putin go all in? I mean, you've explained your reasoning why. You know, he's trying to gain support of BRICS, specifically of China, and which he has. He has. So, what's the way forward now? Why wouldn't he do something like that? Like just come in all out?
It's really not his personality. I mean, the caricature of Putin that is painted in the West is a madman, reckless, and kind of insane. But the reality is he's extremely restrained. He's not belligerent. He is in terms of the Russian political opinion, he is very moderate. I mean, he is a moderate. And his long game, you know, why wouldn't he level Ukraine? Because ultimately he's going to be stuck with these people. I don't think he wanted most of Ukraine. He spent 8 years trying not to incorporate these two provinces in the Donbass. You know, he did annex Crimea. There's special reasons for that, but he didn't want to. For 8 years, he tried to reincorporate Donetsk and Luhansk back into Ukraine, just with very, very reasonable conditions, which Ukraine agreed to, but never actually implemented. So he's not like that. He's a very moderate and restrained person. But because this war just keeps going on and on and on, the longer it goes on, the more impossible it becomes, not just to ever reincorporate those two provinces, but any other provinces that have significant Russian populations. These areas with Russian populations, the Russians have been so maltreated by the Ukrainian government. There's no way you can trust the Ukrainian government with a Russian population. So this means something, you know, 10, 11 provinces being, like close to half of Ukraine being annexed. The rest of Ukraine, can it ever be trusted to be a genuinely independent country, or would it just invite NATO into it? So I think the future for Ukraine is going to be more or less half of it incorporated into Russia, formally annexed, and the other half to be a puppet country, a satellite country of Russia, with an independent government, but a government that is going to be dependent on Russia.
And we're on break, back on the other side.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC. Somersville, Missouri. 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Coming back to the Patrick and Jeremy Show. Before we go back to calls, just to put a fine tip on this post-war Ukraine scenario, I've read a lot of the rebuilding. Of course, Raytheon is in businesses like that have gained a lot of money in this war effort, and that BlackRock and Vanguard would come in and rebuild and the Ukraine, and I guess and make much profits off of that. You tended to think that Putin would be responsible for rebuilding. Is that correct or no?
Yeah, I think Putin will rebuild the areas that get annexed to Russia. These areas, Ukraine has been the most corrupt country in Europe. It hasn't taken care of infrastructure. So Putin will take care of those areas. But the rump Ukraine that I am expecting to become a Russian satellite. If you look at the experience of Chechnya, right? They had a bloody separatist movement. They conducted terrorism in Moscow and other places in Russia. And Putin gained his standing in Russia as prime minister and then acting president by really clamping down on them pretty harshly. But what does he do once he smashes their independence movement? He goes and turns Grozny looks like Oz from the Wizard of Oz movie. I mean, it's very futuristic. So he really built up Chechnya. And the Chechens love him. Look at the Chechens are all willing to go fight and die for him in Ukraine. So I'm not saying that the Ukrainians are necessarily going to love Putin and love the Russians 10 years from now. But I think that's the model that will be followed, that he will take very good care of the two parts of Ukraine, both the part that he annexes and the part that goes into orbit around Russia. I think he'll take good care of them and rebuild them. I think that's his strategy.
Well, Let's hit the call screens again before we move on to another topic. We've got Paul in California. Paul in California, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Patrick.
Hey.
So I wanted to say, no hard feelings. I want to apologize for being so aggressive the other week on a different topic. Because I realize in retrospect, sometimes I can come kind of hard for things. Anyway, the reason for my call is what I just heard.
And by the way, my condolences on Teddy.
Thank you very much, Patrick. I appreciate that. Anyway, the guy that just called, Chance, when he expressed these sentiments, if I was Putin, I would just level Ukraine. And I mean, there was he repeated it and he said it in such an emphatic tone. And I'm just thinking about this sickness that has taken over the world. And I mean, you guys probably all remember the drunken Mel Gibson, saying, "Hey, the Jews cause all the wars." Well, when you look back, right? World War II is not hard to figure out. World War I, essentially. And when you look at the work Mike Gatti has done on the Civil War and the Revolutionary War, they're always there. Another caller a while back said, and I'm not familiar with the book, but he mentioned Martin Luther's book, The Jews and Their Lies, and how you don't want to go to a Jewish doctor because they'll poison you. I haven't read this passage in that book, but I'm just going to take him at his word that it's there. And, you see what's going on with, the way war is waged, say, for example, since World War II, with this massive bombing, in many cases, of non-military targets. And it's just, let's face it, it's just awful. I mean, just the sentiment to, wipe out or level Ukraine, which, by the way, is already fairly level. Okay, it's very level and very agricultural. And it's understandable there's animosity between Ukrainians and, quote, Russians for what happened in the past, but all those people are gone. Those are not the same people, not the same Russians. There's obvious animosity between the Baltic states, right, Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, because of what the Russians, quote, but they were mostly Jewish-led. David Duke's done a lot of good history on what the Jews did in those Baltic states. So you can understand some animosity there towards, quote, Russia, but again, not the same people. That's why I keep, on beating the same drum that it's so important that we come to a racial understanding of history, not so much a political understanding. Because once we can get to that point, we can have a whole lot more racial unity, and then hopefully after that, a reluctance to do such things or to think such things as bombing cities. So those are my sentiments for the moment.
I agree with
thanks you. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Right. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
We appreciate your call, Paul. And,
sure.
to engage in the activities of the Jews in the past is just to be as unhuman and as animalistic as they were and are. Agreed.
Yes, sir. All righty. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Let's move to Joe in Florida. Up next, Joe in Florida, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say something real quick since you just called in. And, callers versus callers, I know is not a big thing. But, Paul today called into Richard Perry's show, and he got kind of vulgar with some language. And Paul, Richard, called him out on it, confronted him. I don't know, what is it? Is Paul a part owner of RBN? Why such deference to this guy who's such a bully? Bullies other callers. Frankly, I'm sick of it. And Richard said, he says to Richard, Richard says, "I have content I want to do." And Paul says, "What content? All you do is read stories from Zero Hedge." Get a life, Paul, is what I'm going to say to you. Anyway, I had to get off my back, okay, because I think people are sick of them, okay, bullying other callers. And is he a part owner of RBN? Why such deference to this bully who's, not all that interesting, frankly?
Let me weigh in real quick, Joe. I've gotten to know Paul. over the last couple of years of interacting with him. He comes off as very harsh. To me, that's kind of what makes him unique. You don't have to wonder about what's on his mind. I heard Richard's show today. And, you know, there's a lot of listeners that are, that appreciate Paul's bluntness and that tune in for this particular show on Tuesday where he's co-host. I get your sentiments, but I'm going to stick up for Paul here and just say, look, he provides an edge to RBN that a lot of listeners do appreciate. And, of course, that can be taken far. You know, Richard's show is in the middle of the day. There's a lot of kids listening. True. Mike, who runs the station pretty much, you know, with a council of others, he's allowed a lot of stuff on my show. It's later at night. He's allowed a lot of stuff on the William show. And we have a lot of fun, you know, with the drops and the robot dogs and all of that. That's kind of part of making it interesting. So for all of the contributors that want to hear clean speech and no edge and nothing at all that's controversial, there's even more listeners that, that are tuning in and contributing that like to hear that edge. And we got to strike that balance.
I agree.
Well, go ahead, Joe.
I agree, and there's some things I agree with Paul on. But, you know, he started off by using the K word, okay? Now, listen, am I a person that is averse to criticizing Jews and calling them out for who they are? No, I don't think anybody's ever heard me call them or whatever, accuse me of that. But I never use that word, and I don't use that word because it's an ugly word and it actually demeans all argument. I don't think Dr. Slattery has ever had to use that word. I've never heard you use that word. I'm not going to have a big deal about it, but Richard was right, and that's all I want to say. Well, I did want to move on because I wanted to actually tell Dr. Slattery, thank you for being so upfront, Dr. Slattery, about your argument. You know, last week you were talking about the abortion question and versus, you know, black populations, et cetera. And I called Jeremy last night and I gave him my sort of line in the sand why I disagree with you on that. You know, I agree. You had said on your show last week that the abortion question is kind of been like the, you know, the 800-pound gorilla and sort of sucked all the energy out of otherwise voters who might have been voting our way. I think the same way as you. I'm very important to me is anti-war, avoiding these wars, Jewish wars and wars that are unnecessary. And then you have the candidate, you know, who's like pro-abortion. Well, you can't vote for the anti-war candidate who's pro-abortion. I get that. That's actually the way I come at it. But I will say the reason why it did take so much energy out of the political spectrum was because it is a life and death question, right, to some of us who actually believe that. The only thing I will say is that, as I said to Jeremy last night, I happen to think now we're in a different phase. We fought for almost 50 years to overturn Roe v. Wade, and now it's overturned, and it's back in the states. I told Jeremy this last night. I'm not in favor of making the national abortion law a litmus test. Obviously, I'd be in favor of it, but I think it's a fraud. It's people like Lindsey Graham, who I said, never in a million years would Lindsey Graham ever have to face the dilemma of having impregnated a woman unexpectedly. And he's the guy that's leading this national abortion law thing. There's going to be states that will allow this evil, and unfortunately, that's where we're at. But I don't know if you have any feedback on that, Dr. Slattery.
Okay. Unfortunately, I don't know if it was your connection or my connection. I did miss a little bit of what you were saying. I think I got the overall gist of it. And, yeah, my positions on both, abortion and the global warming stuff are radically moderate. I just kind of don't even want to talk about either one, honestly. That's it.
Yeah, no, and I understand it. I understand that. I just made the point to Jeremy last night that the argument that, well, black people, they were all going to turn into criminals anyway, so therefore we can allow them to abort their children. It doesn't hold water for me. But of course, mostly I agree with Laura Fisher. And I think now our question is about war. We're on the verge of World War III. And that's the overarching issue of everybody now. They have to start focusing on that. Are we going to let these psychopaths, tyrannical psychopaths, Jews and people who act like Jews, walk us into World War III? Are we going to stop them? Thanks for the great show tonight, guys, as always.
Okay. Oh,
thanks, Joe. Yeah, that's it. I mean, we're in World War III economically. I don't think we're going to be in a hot World War III. I personally think that Nuland and Blinken are on phone calls with Putin and Xi, and they're hashing this stuff out on phone calls. That's what I personally think. I just don't see cities going up. But, I mean, if you want to push back, that's...
Yeah, Putin, like Brandon has been trying to call Putin, and apparently Putin is not taking his calls. And so you get this type of thing happens, complete breakdowns in communication. And to the extent, I think
maybe at the lower levels.
There's going to be some contact at lower levels. But the other thing is, in 1913, how many people were expecting to have a full-out world war a year later? 1938 in Europe, how many people were expecting a full-out world war a year later? So I it's not as if I think that even Victoria Nuland actually wants a full-out World War III, but she is reckless and is willing to take risks, maybe on the assumption that Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping will behave or respond in a particular manner, and there can be miscalculations, and these miscalculations can have devastating results.
Well, let's move on to Mike. Let's give Mike in Kentucky the floor. Julie, if you would, maybe we could skip this last break and give Mike some time. Mike in Kentucky, welcome to the show.
Well, I thank you very much there, Jeremy. You don't have to skip the break for me. I've been a longtime supporter and promoter, you might say, of RBN, going all the way back to the days of, when John Stadtmiller and Alex Jones were kind of getting along for some reason. I never did find out how they blew up, but I did see that recent article on RBN talking about the some of the John Stadtmiller drama, I guess you could say, that happened. The previous caller, they're talking about how some callers, and I noticed that with Mike Rivero, different show hosts seem to favor certain callers, and you don't understand why, but one of the things I like to do, you mentioned the archives, go back and listen to your calls in the archives, listen to yourself, and do what in broadcasting, professional broadcasting, they called it for a long time performance review. And you can see where maybe you slurred your speech a little bit, or you kind of spoke too quick, or whatever. And you get a sense of how you could, all of the calls could be elevated a little bit on RBN with a little bit more, pacing and rhythm. To get the information out there. That's one of the best things about RBN versus like Art Bell and For the People Radio Network back in the 90s. They drift off in all of these different, out there topics, from space aliens to whatever. And RBN was more informative. It always has been. So that's why I was always such a partaker of it last, when it was known as RBN Live, now it's republicbroadcasting.org, but visit the webpage and join the comments there. Of course, there is a Facebook page, but, and I have to wonder too, in this age that we have, that if there's often fomented misunderstandings and infighting that is meant to try to tear stuff apart, if RBN's being attacked that way, it might actually be a good sign that there's some, it's being effective. If you're like me, a hillbilly who's grown up with fly trap strips, once that fly trap catches all the flies that it's going to catch, it gets done away with. I mean, I hate to be kind of pessimistic about that, but, you know, once RBN, if it is being used as a fly trap by the intelligence community, once it's caught all the flies it's going to catch, it's going to get tossed out, I think. So, and I believe they do that. I have no idea that how they was able to run Clear Channel Radio out of the Cayman Islands as a trust, losing money for so long. It's had, you know, a lot of people speculate it was an intelligence operation, an influence operation, as a corporate illegal domestic psyop. I don't think anybody involved in RBN is doing that on purpose. But I think we need to be on guard for their dirty tricks and the ways that they cause infighting amongst key players. So take a deep breath and let's not let the RBN get manipulated out of existence.
One thing I've tried to do, especially since being a host, is to listen to every show on RBN or try to. And with the new hosts coming in and new shows, that can be a little bit of a task. But I've tried.
It is. I'll grant you that. There's some shows I can't really. I mean, I listen to them, but I'm like, John Stattmiller probably would turn over in his grave on some of these. But then you listen long enough, you find out why they're on there. They are, you know, they may be a little bit out there spiritually or whatever, but they're in plane.
They're in plane with some other. Some of the weekend shows, especially in the evening, kind of get away with
shows, but you brought it up.
Some of the evening weekend shows are a little edgier, you know, Giuseppe's a little edgier. And then, you know, Ravolt may not be quite so much edgy, but he brings out some of the more conspiratorial things that other hosts maybe don't want to talk about.
That's part of what I was going to get at. And there's a few hosts on here that don't really speak their mind because they're afraid of retribution. I just know some of the behind the scenes talk, and that's one of the big things about RBN. And I had a little headbutting with John Stattmiller over this because I was complaining about some of the dirty tricks on Facebook that I documented, and he defended Facebook. I was shocked. He was like, "Well, look, should I not be able to ban who I want to ban on my platform too?" You know, referring to his webpage. And the trolls and commentators that would get on there and I guess spam the thing and try to drive people away. So I mean, you know, there's two ways to look at it, but the major corporate media is controlled a lot by their sponsors, advertisers, and owners. So I mean, there's a certain amount of that that's going to happen with RBN. So
It's probably the freest platform that we have, where contributors are the majority of the funding. Patrick, did you have something to say on this before we...
It's almost gone. We're almost out of time.
No, I don't have anything to say. It's an interesting conversation.
And where John ran RBN very well, and he had his ways, you know. Mike's taken over and done a fantastic job. He's brought in a lot of new hosts, a lot of new points of view. He's allowed some edgier content. And just like I was, you know, addressing with Joe in Florida, there's listeners that want the edginess. We're getting some younger blood, you know, no offense to anyone that's older, but as the older ones are passing on, and they are, we're getting some younger blood, and that's what it's going to take to survive. I'm not saying we should go total TRS edgy here, but what I'm saying is that, you know, John Moore has his listeners and contributors that like that content, and our shows where we talk about Jews, you know, we have our listeners. Giuseppe and Ravel have theirs where they get a little edgier and more conspiratorial. The beautiful part about RBN is we allow all of this, and we're not controlled by like one donor or one group of donors.
Yeah. Of course, I think they have a lot of lackeys and people that are going along with them to get along with them when it comes to the Jews. I think you also have to consider all the people that are supporting them and going along with them. They have a lot of yes men and a lot of cooperative elements out there, or how else could whatever it is, 25 million Jews control so much? I mean, what's the number?
Yeah.
I don't even know. They have a lot of lackeys and a lot of yes men. So, but you know, I would just let it be known that as much of a free speech platform as it is, I don't know how to put it. There is always problems in any kind of group of people with that have disagreements among opinions, and so you have to just be able to go on with your day and not let it stick in your craw so bad, you know, that you can't support the network.
Well, thanks, Michael. We're going to summarize. Appreciate your call, my friend.
Sure.
And it's surprising to me that RBN has lasted as long as it has. It's the content. The content is what would get us thrown down, the fact that we allow open discussion of Jewish power. I'm not so worried so much about the word that comes from the Yiddish word keikel. Or kike, I'm not so much worried about that. Or the N-bombs, we don't need to make that a regular diet for the listeners. But the content itself is what's really controversial, the fact that we're openly speaking of these things. So, and we'll be speaking of them more on the Patrick and Jeremy show tomorrow. Patrick, do you have some closing thoughts before we end the show?
It's a full moon.
It is. I can tell today it was a full moon. It was going to be.
I knew Mike Rivero. Mike Rivero had a good show. I listened to a lot. The Jim Fetzer show, I'm getting a kick out of it. I'm enjoying it. I think it's off to a good start. And Mer Bailey, sometimes she annoys me. I listened to a little bit of her show the other day, and it was quite good. I don't know if it's always good, but what I heard was
Fetzer is bringing it, man. That's what I got. He's bringing it. He's filling those shoes well. You got to stay classy. Tune into Patrick and Jeremy tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central. Be there or be queer.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.